You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Have you ever met a person who didn't feel human? Like and subscribe or I'll haunt you tonight. I met someone in New York City that I swear was a real vampire. I'm talking about ancient blood-drinking creature of the night vampire. I used to work downtown on St. Mark's at a Chipotle. I would get off late and after work I would frequent this Irish bar across the street. By the time I left one night, it was super late and I had to get to the train. On the way to the train, I realized I had to piss and didn't want to hold it on the hour-long train ride back to the Bronx, so I sought out the closest alleyway. As I am standing there relieving myself, I hear a voice with a British accent say, "Quite the evening, wouldn't you say?" I look into the alley and standing there was a young man, maybe late 20s, early 30s. He was dressed rather well in all black. I am not a fashion guru or anything, but I could tell that his wardrobe consisted of expensive attire. He was unusually pale with dark hair and piercing blue eyes. "Yeah, it's pretty nice, but I'm about to be on the train for an hour or so, that sucks," I said. "Indeed," he responded. It was a casual tone, not menacing or anything. I was tipsy and didn't question why a dapper fella such as him was hanging out in a dark alleyway just off the busy street. I assumed he was doing the same thing as me. I finished and zipped up. "How's your night going?" I asked. He inhaled deeply and exhaled, "Ah, my night is just beginning. I think I will walk around for a while, catch a late dinner." He had a very articulate manner of speech. "Sounds cool, well nice to meet you." I paused as one does to ask for a person's name without actually asking. "Sebastian," he said. "Well, Sebastian, I'm Castro, it was nice to meet you, maybe next time we meet it will be under less awkward circumstances." He chuckled and said, "Yes, I do hope so." I left him there in the alley and walked to the train, went home and went to sleep. I was off the next night, but decided to go down to St. Mark's to have a few drinks and mingle. I rode the train and as I am exiting the train I hear Castro. I turn towards the familiar voice and see Sebastian. He was wearing seemingly the same clothes from the night before but still very dapper. "Hey, how are you?" I asked in a welcoming tone. "I am fine, thank you. Will you be working tonight?" he asked. Before I could question how he could possibly know I worked in the area, I said, "No. I'm off tonight, gonna grab a few drinks and hang out, you're welcome to join me." "Splendid, I don't drink, but if you wouldn't mind the company, then I would be happy to join you," he said almost excitedly. Up until that moment, I hadn't realized just how incredibly pale he was. I mean, I saw how pale he was the night before in the alley but standing there on the platform he was almost paper white, and his eyes were so blue, they almost glowed. We headed up the stairs to the street and made our way to the bar I frequented. I got my usual Jameson and Coke and we chatted a while about myself, my age, my job, my thoughts on God and whatnot. Then I said, "So what about you, what's your story?" He said this with such sincerity yet so casual that I was taken aback. "I am what most call a vampire." I looked up from my drink, straight into his eyes, and in that instant, I realized this being, this individual across from me was serious and I believed him. A rush of adrenaline came over me instantly sobering me up. "Calm yourself," he said placing a very pale, cold hand on mine. "I have no intention of harming you. I find you interesting and thought I would enjoy conversing with you. I was watching you last night in this bar, the way you carry yourself piqued my interest, He was sincere. Okay, well say, I believed you, I totally did and I think he knew it. How old are you? I asked. I am roughly 600 years old, I am young by our standards. Our standards? Are there more people like you? I asked. There are, but not many, he answered. I was in a very awkward situation to say the least. I was either talking to a real vampire or a total nut job that belonged in a mental institution. I finished my drink and said, well, I think that's enough excitement for me, think it's time to catch that train. I said, very obviously shook by the revaluation. I made my way out to the street and lit a cigarette. Sebastian appeared next to me. I hope I didn't scare you, he seemed a little worried. No, it's just a lot to take in. In my mind, I was only thinking of how fast I could get away from this being. Will I see you again? He asked. Sure man, just don't do anything weird like show up in my room or anything, I laughed nervously. Of course not, he laughed in turn. Well, Sebastian, I'll see you around, I said as I walked away, trying not to seem like I was running away. I had taken about 5 steps when I heard Castro. I turned to look at Sebastian and was left stunned. He was looking at me, and his eyes were beaming. They were doing the reflective cat thing, I will be seeing you soon I hope. Sure, see you soon, I turned and hurried away. The next day, I got arrested and spent a weekend in jail. This caused me to lose my job and in turn lose my apartment. The day I got out of jail, I found out my dad was real sick and I decided to move back to Texas. That was the last time I saw Sebastian. I am in no way confirming or denying that this being was really a vampire. But still to this day, when I am walking down dark roads at night, I get this feeling that I am being watched from the shadows. At this point in my life though, being that I am dying, I wish that I could find him again and ask him if he could save me. I guess I will never know. My husband's story. At this fundamentalist church I grew up in, there were always lots of transient people coming in and out. It definitely attracted a weird crowd. So this one lady started coming to the church one day, and she'd probably been going about 3 weeks. I had gotten a weird vibe from the start. She had a delay in her speech and a vacant look in her eyes. And she never really talked to the other churchgoers. But she didn't do anything outwardly that would cause much concern. I noticed that during the sermons though, she would move her head around in a jerky motion. I got kind of freaked out and started wondering if she was possessed by something. The following week, as the sermon concluded and the worship music started, everyone was standing in one place singing and clapping. I was maybe 10 pews back from her looking at the back of her head. I mouthed barely audibly, I know you're in there. At that moment, her head turned and looked me straight in the eyes. A huge sinister grin came across her face. She stared back for 10 to 15 seconds, but it felt like an eternity. Then she slowly turned her head back to center. After this, she basically stopped going. I only saw her briefly one or two more times, and I never caught her name. If anyone best fits the question, it's her. About a week after I moved into my current flat, this weird man knocked at my door one afternoon. He was tall, although I'm short so everyone looks kinda tall to me, wearing a suit and a long black coat, and was carrying a briefcase. He leaned over really weird, like I don't know, sideways kind of? Rather than leaning over normally, and just tried to give me a leaflet, which I presume was about funeral services as it said something like preparing for your future. It was weird enough by itself, but he smiled at me really weirdly, asked me, have you thought about your future? And I just knew I wanted out as soon as possible, so I just said no, thank you and shut the door. I watched him through the peephole for a bit, because I was still freaked out, and he just stood there looking at my door with the same weird smile on his face for a few minutes before eventually leaving. I saw him walking down my road a few days later, but never saw him again after that. I know it sounds dramatic, but the way he moved and smiled just immediately made me think of some shapeshifter or something who was still learning to be human. Really weird, and I'm glad I haven't seen him since. This was back when I was in high school and oddly enough also involves an otherworldly old woman. We had a half day scheduled that day and were let out at noon. I met up with my buddy Zeke in the student lot and talked him into going to see Alexander Asia's The Hills Have Eyes remake with me. It had just come out that same day, But because it was a weekday afternoon showing of a horror movie, we weren't surprised to find that particular theater almost completely empty. The one exception, aside from ourselves, was an elderly woman seated at the end of the row closest to the theater's entrance, so that we had to walk directly past her regardless of where we chose to sit. The woman must have heard us coming as we entered the hallway leading into the theater, because she was already staring at us as we rounded the corner. And I turned to scan the rows of vacant seats, inadvertently meeting her gaze in the process. She didn't look angry or even annoyed. The old woman didn't look like she was currently feeling anything, her wrinkled face completely void of emotion. I could tell by the uneasy glance we exchanged as we passed her that Zeke had been just as unnerved by the old woman's complete lack of expression. "She's gotta be in the wrong theater, right?" he whispered as we took our seats several rows behind the woman. I shrugged and quietly replied, "Maybe she was a big fan of haute tension." I meant it as a joke, but Zeke seemed to be seriously considering the possibility. Now, it was his turn to shrug as he slapped his seat's armrest and said, "I gotta pee." I checked the time on my phone as Zeke stood and started back down the aisle. "You've got like 3 minutes before the trailers start." Zeke nodded without looking at me and then abruptly turned and retreated back to where we were seated, squeezing past me on his way to the aisle on the other side as he muttered, "I'm not walking by that dead-eyed bitch again." As Zeke reached the far aisle and started toward the theater's rear exit, I turned my attention back to the old woman. My seat was closer to the theater's center. From that angle, I correctly assumed the old woman could see me in her peripheral vision, and so I waved. When she didn't seem to notice, I leaned over the seat in front of me to make myself even more obvious and waved again. "Ma'am? Excuse me, ma'am?" I stayed just like that for what felt like a good 30 seconds, half my body leaning over the seat in front of me and waving at the side of this woman's head. Finally, and oh so very slowly, the old lady turned to look, aiming her expressionless expression directly at me. I immediately regretted getting her to do so. The old woman's gaze felt like a weight hanging from me, like there was an actual density to it. Eventually, I realized she was waiting for me to say something. I tried my best to force a polite smile as I asked, "Do you like these kinds of movies?" The old woman slowly nodded her head. "You know what kind of movies I'm talking about?" Again, she nodded. "This is a horror movie, probably a pretty brutal one too. Are you sure you're in the right theater?" Finally, something vaguely resembling a human emotion flashed across the woman's weathered face as she narrowed her eyes at me. For the briefest of moments, she actually seemed frustrated. Then just like that, the old woman's frustration was suddenly replaced by a look that can only really be described as snarky. Her lips pulled back to form a wide primate grin, revealing what looked like several pieces of archaic dental brace fixed to her teeth as thick strings of drool began to leak from the corners of her mouth. I will put my hand on a stack of Bibles mixed in with a stack of Incredible Hulk 180, First Appearance of Wolverine. And I will swear that not only is all of this true, but also, those braces looked like they were completely covered in rust, like they had been in there for decades. Coincidentally, that was the exact moment the theater's lights were dimmed until we were shrouded in almost complete darkness. I let out a really manly yelp as I heard the needle pop crackle of the theater's sound system being switched on, prompting me to hop up out of my seat and book it the hell out of there. And just like Zeke, I made sure to take the long way. I was so genuinely freaked out that I basically ran straight to the parking lot and then started freaking out even more when I couldn't find my car. Finally, I remembered that Zeke had driven us there in his car, and a pit instantly formed in my stomach as I realized he might have gone back into that theater by himself. I dug my cell from my pocket and called him. That's when I heard his distinct ringtone emanating from his car, which was parked a few spaces over from where I was currently pacing. Zeke was in there too, getting high and rocking out to Tito and Tarantulas After Dark. It was still the middle of the day at this point, and sunny as hell, which is why I will never forget that the song I Caught a Despondent Zeke air guitaring to was called After Dark. I yanked open the passenger door to hear Zeke already queuing up his apology, how he just wasn't in the mood for something scary, but he doesn't mind waiting around until it's over. I could tell he was really out here because of the old woman. Zeke had always been very in tune when it came to those sorts of things. Though, when I told him what happened after he left the theater, he immediately called BS. And I know it's BS because she followed me to the bathroom. What? No, dude, she didn't, I was right there the whole time. Well, she did, because I saw her in the..." He stopped short here and then just started crying. Eventually, the crying became sobbing and I never got to hear what the end of his sentence would have been. Me and Zeke stopped hanging out not too long after. We even got into and attended the same college but had completely different friend groups while we were there. A part of me knows that day was the reason for all of it. I normally don't even like thinking about that time, but you just had to ask, didn't you? I worked in a hospital years ago and was taking care of someone. He was young, early 20s. I wouldn't say that he wasn't human, but I definitely think he was possessed by something that wasn't. During an encounter, he made a face at me and growled. His entire face distorted into something our faces just don't and can't do. I thought it was just me who saw it, but there were two staff members behind me at the time it happened, and they both took several steps back when he did it. His face distorted into a demon. I don't know how else to describe it. His brows arched, his eyes turned black, his smile spread to his ears. No one talked about it the rest of the day until I brought it up to one of my colleagues that witnessed it at the end of the day. She just looked at me and said, "I've been working in this field for 30 years and I've never seen anything like that in my life. I believe the help he needs is a bit beyond us, be careful with that one. I will never forget that as long as I live." I personally have come across many people that didn't seem human, but the one I vividly remembered spooked me for a while. I was driving to work one morning and upon making a left turn at a light, I noticed a man and a lady on bikes on the sidewalk next to me. They were waiting for the green light as I was. They both looked straight ahead, then the man turned his head slowly to look at me. When he looked at me, his eyes were dark and gave off an evil vibe. He looked back at the lady next to him and then they both looked at me slowly, I mean slowly. But she started smiling this big grin and I swear that her eyes looked red and that evil grin she gave me. I couldn't get that vision out of my head for a long time. The light turned green and I peeled out, burning rubber and all. I looked in the rearview mirror and they were both just sitting there staring at me. They never moved for as long as I could see them in the mirror. I felt they were demons, but I wasn't hanging around to find out. I worked the night shift at Tim Hortons right when I turned 18. Everyone on the night shift talked about this fellow, Smiley, that came in every now and again. He was a homeless man, Smiley was a nickname of course. We had our lobby open 24 hours and got our fair share of homeless in our location, I never minded. I would be able to give people free food and drink if I could tell they were rough. This man was no exception. Every worker warned me not to talk to Smiley. Mostly girls, but even men that work there. They said he was just off-putting. I never judge people before I meet them, but their warning stuck in my mind. One night, I am leaned near the counter when I feel a presence outside the window. I didn't see him, I felt him. I look out the window and see him on all fours at the window. Okay? I had been told that he picked up loose change, so I just left it alone. Probably 10 minutes goes by and he finally enters. He looked as familiar as they come. He quite literally could be identified by anyone if they had ever seen him. Extremely recognizable in such a simple look. He always wore a white tee tucked into light blue pants, same haircut, very slight stubble. Right when he walked in, he went into the bathroom. I waited probably 20 minutes, and he never came out. I thought maybe he was doing drugs in the bathroom, so I walked in to ask him to leave. The moment I opened the door, he looked through me through the mirror. He made direct eye contact, but I felt he was looking right through me. I walked in, went in the stall and used the bathroom. He was washing his hands the whole time. I came out after I went pee and he stood there reaching for a paper towel, his hands bright red and the mirror steamed from how hot he had the water. His hands even had pruning from being in water so long. After I washed my hands, I met him at the front. Every night, he got a ham and Swiss sandwich and a water. I made him the sandwich and he set all the coins on the table. I struck up conversation and told him to hold on to the coins, that this was my treat tonight. He was very appreciative, and sat down in the lobby. I went on about my night, routinely topping off his water. I even offered him a few donuts. Fun fact, Tim Hortons throws away any uneaten donuts nightly. Every time I looked away, he would stare directly at me, but each time I looked at him, he'd look away. After that night, he came in regularly. He had very poor speech, almost a lisp. He would only talk to me, everyone else was afraid of him. Every time he came in, I knew he was there. He was very polite, but had some kind of force associated with him. Before he walked in, I'd know and I'd start making his sandwich. I never talked to him much, but we became friends in a way. Not by talking, but just understanding. He struggled and I could tell, he lacked confidence, motivation, anything. He was sad, he was lonely, he only moved at night. To be quite honest, he was a shell of a man. Now I have only seen Smiley once since. That was a few weeks ago, 3 years since I left Tim Hortons. He was walking down the main street in broad daylight. When I looked at him, I no longer felt evil emanating from him. He was just walking around, smiling. There is a 24-hour diner-type restaurant across the street from this punk dive bar I used to frequent. There were a few other dives in the area, so after the bars close, the revelers who want a little more than Taco Bell end up streaming into this place for their 2 a.m. fix. I've only ever been there at this time of night, when the place is full of punks, drunks, and other assorted weirdos who aren't ready to call it a night just yet. I know the picture you're seeing in your head, and it's wrong. This place isn't your typical seedy diner. It's not fancy by any means, but when you walk in, it feels like you're stepping into an alternate reality all the same. There's a dark wooden hostess stand up front with a pastry case behind it, brown brick walls, neat rows of tables and booths. The harsh fluorescent light you'd usually expect in a diner is here replaced by pendant lights giving off a slightly dimmer orange glow. Everything in the place feels a bit darker than it should be. The walls, the floor, the furniture, the lighting. Everything is cheap, trying to appear more expensive. The place is impossibly clean, much cleaner than you would expect considering the usual crowd. There's something about the employees of this diner. They all have to wear white collared shirts, with little black bow ties and aprons. They all look and act like they're in the sunken place. They're smiling and polite, but the smile never reaches their eyes, those haunted eyes that have a look like a desperate cry for help. They don't laugh or joke or chit-chat, no matter how friendly and relaxed you are. I know they work a crappy shift at a crappy restaurant, but I could never shake the feeling that there was more going on with them. I was about 16 or 17 years old and was in a car with two friends and my cousin. We had just left a backyard party and it was about 2 a.m., so the streets were empty. We were in my friend's 2000 Nissan Altima and were all laughing, joking, and just overall having a good time. As we drove towards a freeway underpass, in the distance, I noticed a figure sitting at a bus stop right before the underpass entrance. When we got closer, I saw it was a man with long dreadlocks sitting with his leg crossed smoking a cigarette staring down at the floor. Right as we passed by him, he looked up and had a huge smile and stared right at us. I'm not exaggerating when I say this, but it was the biggest smile I've ever seen in real life. His teeth were big and yellow and looked almost cartoonish. My friend described it as a yellow Cheshire cat smile. The whites of his eyes were also yellow, his skin and hair or dreads appeared red, and his fingers were long and skinny with pointy nails. Yes, we saw all this from the car. The color and texture of his skin almost reminded me of a Slim Jim. As soon as we passed by him, the car immediately fell silent and I swear time even felt like it slowed down. I kept looking at him through the rear view mirror even after we passed him up, and he was still staring at us, and it looked like he was laughing. We all sat there in silence for a few seconds until someone finally blurted out, "What the heck was that?" Everyone in the car saw and felt the same thing. Everyone, including me, felt like he made and held eye contact with them individually. We all got the chills and honestly felt kind of scared. This happened 16 years ago, and to this day, I still think about it. One of my friends from that night and I even talked about it like a year ago. Whatever we saw that night, it really didn't seem or feel human. I'm a server and I went to seat an older guy by that came in by himself. As soon as he walked in, I felt weird. It was the morning shift, so the restaurant was empty and it was only me and a cook there. When I walked up to him, I noticed his eyes, they had a weird reflection to them, I just thought it was the lighting and ignored it. But he was just weird, the way he talked and moved made me uncomfortable. He only ordered a coffee and some soup and stayed a while. We didn't talk much, but I noticed his eyes again, and it definitely wasn't the reflection. The pupil looked enlarged and like a screen almost. It freaked me out, and there was something off about him. I couldn't help myself and I said, "Whoa, your eyes," and just stared at him. He didn't say anything and it felt so awkward, so I walked away. I looked up at his table shortly after, there was $10, and he was gone. I didn't hear the bell on the door or anything. There was something strange about him, and even today, I get uncomfortable thinking about him. At the restaurant I used to work at, there was this elderly woman who came in every Sunday, right at 11 a.m. She ordered the same thing, always sat by herself, was mostly quiet, and always tipped the same amount. Her bill came out to like $11, and she always left $13.55. Anyways, she was on a first-name basis with most of us, and one weekend, I got her in my section. She normally didn't talk much, but that day, she kept asking me questions and making odd comments. She kept bringing up my grandparents and would say stuff like, "Oh, I bet they're just so proud of you, make sure you thank them and tell them you love them." Fairly typical for elderly people, I guess. Well, towards the end of her meal, she would not stop talking about my necklace. It was a gold chain with a crucifix on it that my grandma got me when I was 14. She passed away shortly after that. You couldn't even really see it, I had a collared shirt with a tie on, so I guess she saw it when I bent over, but I pulled it out so she could get a good look. She grabbed it and yanked it towards her and told me that as long as I wear that, my grandma is still watching over me. I didn't really know what to say and just assumed she was feeling especially lonely that day, and so I played along. She left and I couldn't stop thinking of what she said. I worked a double that day and didn't head home until about 10 p.m. I stopped at a gas station to get a couple things and crazy enough, my total came out to 13.55. I laughed and paid with a $20 bill. The cashier then told me to wait a moment because she had to go get change. As I was waiting, maybe 30 seconds or so, someone got absolutely smoked as they were pulling out of the parking lot by this huge lifted truck. We called 911 and checked on the drivers to make sure they were okay. Thankfully, the guy that got hit was in a Yukon. He was hurt badly but was taken to the hospital and survived. Now, if that was me on the other hand, probably would have been killed in my tiny Saturn, and I probably would have been pulling out at that exact time had the cashier not needed change. I know, all this could just be a coincidence, but wait, there's more. The next weekend, the woman didn't show up to the restaurant. We were all a little concerned, but had no way of contacting her or her family. Next weekend, same thing. Then on a random day, where I happened to be standing at the hostess station, a woman came in and told us that her mother had passed and she wanted to let us know, since she knew she came in every week. We all gave our condolences and she noticed my name tag and said, "Oh, she told me about you, she said to tell you to always wear your cross. I'm not super religious or anything, but my grandmother was. So I don't know what really to call the lady, guardian angel or what have you, but it always felt like more than just a chance encounter. I still wear the necklace every day, nearly 20 years after my grandmother gave it to me. Superstition? Maybe. All I know is that there have been a few days I forgot to put it on, I take it off when I get into bed, and those days were miserable. It just seems like everything goes wrong if I don't have it on. So yeah, call it whatever you want, but I still think about what that lady told me all the time. I was a small child, under 7 if I recall, and this is back in 97 to 98. I climbed one side of a wooden fence and slipped, causing my pinky and my pinky only to slide down until it hit the first cross section of 2x4. Obviously didn't feel good. I used my other hand to grab the top of the fence and pull myself up, so my weight was on my other arm and not my lone pinky, which was likely broken. Now, I am on the back end of my house and there is nothing but miles and miles of undeveloped land behind me and no one in sight. However, my little head can see just over the fence. My mom arrives at this point and we fail to remove my pinky from its capture. 911 is dialed and I am sitting on my mom's shoulder as I can no longer hold myself up as I've been there for 10 minutes already. I can see just over the fence I'm caught on and just over the next one to the house next door. There was a single dead-end street that ran between our houses, but no way anyone could see me or my mom or really anything behind my house. Fire arrives. They get a good look at this situation and realize they are going to need tools as no one is strong enough to physically pry the fence apart by hand, so I can slide my pinky up and out of the fence. A solid black pickup truck pulls up on the side of my house, behind the fire truck, and I can only see the top of it. I hear a door open and close and see the top of this guy's head walking around the fence. Just as this happens, the fire team decides to head back for the previously mentioned tools. As they round the corner, this unknown individual walks literally right by them, and he is a tall black gentleman. He asks if he can help, to which my mom obviously takes. He grabs the fence and pulls them apart as much as he can and it fails. He tries a second time and my pink slides right out. Without anything else, he leaves and walks around the fence. I have been brought to ground level seconds later, and the fire team comes around the same way this guy just left with all these tools to break the fence. They asked us how we did it and my mom looked at them and told them about the guy that came around just as they left, from the same direction. They had no idea who we were speaking of. They never saw him either time despite passing him twice. A lot of people I've told this story to say it was a guardian angel, but that's 100% unlikely as they don't exist. I imagine the guy heard my howls of pain, was a nearby neighbor and drove over to my house just a few houses down to see if he could help, and the fire team had tunnel vision trying to save this kid from the awkward position they have gotten themselves stuck in. Probably the most convincing argument for a guardian angel I've ever seen, however. When I was little, my brother, my dad, and I would always sit in this park hidden between an alleyway. The park was absolutely beautiful and littered with cherry blossom trees and so many squirrels. Anyways, there was this homeless man who always sat on a bench in the far end of the park where we would sit, and he would always play with bees. There would be little swarms of them just landing on his hand and he would pick them up and talk to them. My brother and I thought he looked so awesome due to his tall top hat, long black leather trench coat, and his black and gold cane. He has super long curly hair and looked like a fictional character straight out of a movie. We asked him why he plays with bees and he just simply said, "They won't hurt you, they like you." I don't remember seeing him after that, but turns out he was a mentally ill man who slept behind a church to protest against the people who bought the church from his father. Regardless, I always thought he was the most magical person I've ever met. I am a female and I was traveling in a different country. I knew no one in the city. I ended up meeting someone one afternoon who offered to show me around the following night. I suppose I should have called it quits there, but I guess I was naive to the scenario. He seemed quite pleasant, and at the time didn't give me any bad vibes. The following night comes around, and as I'm waiting for him to show up, I run into an elderly lady who is clearly very distressed. I ask if she's okay and she tells me she desperately needs to get home to give her son medication, but her car just broke down. No problem, the guy arrives and I ask if we can take her. He obliges, it's not a big deal nor is it far away. So we drop her off and she's so grateful. We continue to drive around the city until we reach a bar, we have one drink. Long story short, he invites me back to his place for a drink. Again, I probably shouldn't have said yes, but he swears to me that he will drop me back off where he picked me up earlier. Fine. We arrive at his house, which is actually a shed with a makeshift pull-out couch and TV. Trying to be polite, I stay for a drink and say I want to go back now. He tells me that he is too drunk to drive and won't be doing that. I say okay, no problem, what is a number for a taxi I can call? He instantly gets furious and proceeds to tell me that he is going to call his ride or die to sort this out. He calls his friend. I'm starting to panic, I pick up my things and the bottle of wine. He asks what I'm going to do with it, assumes I'm greedy and taking it home. I don't say anything, but in fact, I'm thinking that I'm going to hit him over the head if I need to while I back up slowly to the door. I make my escape and find that I'm down a side road which is dimly lit. I can't even tell which way is out and there's not many houses around. I hear traffic, so I start running towards it. It's my only chance as I have no idea if he followed me out. I don't dare look back, I'm running for my life. I thankfully end up at a gas station and I run inside panting. I ask if they can call me a cab. As the clerk is about to call, I see one pull up. I run up to him because I'm looking to get the hell out of Dodge. He lets me in, but first wants to confirm that I have money. I show him my cash and we start driving. He tells me that there is a jail not too far away and a lot of recently released citizens will walk to the gas station, get a cab and then jump out when it's time to pay. I tell him that's not my case and we proceed to where I want to go. I didn't realize just how far out of the city I was. I was staying on a boat at the time, so I was dropped off at the water edge. I'm leaving out a bit of info to summarize this story, so the next problem arises. How do I get back to the boat? It's at anchor, too far and too dark to swim. The water taxi is not running and now no one on board is awake. I'm ugly crying at this point because my adrenaline has just worn off and I just want to be back in a safe place. That's when I hear a little voice, "Do you know where I can get some wine at this time of night?" I look up and a middle-aged lady is sitting outside by a brick wall, under a street light on a blue milk crate. I tell her I don't know where to buy wine at this hour, but we can certainly drink mine. We drink it together. She tries to call me a water taxi even though we both know there not a chance. Then she tells me to use her phone to dial the captain. Thankfully, he picks up and will be on his way in a few minutes. While we waited, she gave me a cinnamon-smelling candle out of her purse. She says she just feels like I should have it. She shows me recent pictures on her nice camera of her wedding and her dog. I see the captain arrive and I thank her immensely, then say goodbye. I have no idea what she was doing there or why she was out in the middle of the night, but she was so incredibly comforting, I can't even describe it. It was as if she was put there in the exact right place at the exact right time. She didn't ask why I was upset, she just kept me positive and comforted me as best she could. It's so incredibly random, I know. I have since matured and learned my lesson. I don't remember her name, but I do remember where we sat and what her wedding photos looked like. I will forever be so incredibly grateful for her presence. We were sitting on a concrete wall eating the best burgers from the local McDonald's at close to midnight. To our right, about 20 feet away, is a rather large bush that blocks our vision. My three friends and I are chatting and eating when I notice from behind the bush steps a man. My friends didn't notice him at first, but I did. Picture a man in his late 60s. Still physically able, however, slicked back gray hair and a deep tan only given to those who spend a lifetime in the sun. This man struts up to us dripping in swagger straight from the 1970s, because disco never died and neither did he. Not only does he have the 70s swagger, he has the fashion. I mean a button-up long sleeve, gold polyester shirt with the top four buttons omitted. Along with black bell-bottom pants, shoes that clicked when he walked and a sweet gold chain necklace. Did I mention an unlit cigarette hanging out of his mouth? He approaches us and says, "Hey, do you guys have a match?" This was early 2010s and he didn't say lighter, he specified a match. Most of us said we did not, except one of my friends looked down on the wall next to him. Do you know what was there? A matchbook. My friend hands it to him and the man thanks him. The guy lights up his cig and starts walking away. My friends kept talking because they didn't seem to notice how crazy this all was. I watched until the man reaches the bush when I turned my head to answer one of my friends. I looked away for a split second, but he was gone. I used to live in a very old house in the hills of Western Maryland. It only had windows in the front and back of the house, not on the sides. And when I asked, it was explained that houses were built this way back then, so the slaves walking between the houses couldn't look in. We were renting from a friend of the family who owned the place. And before we moved in, we were warned that the house was special, and that we should be prepared for that, though no explanation was given as to what special meant. I came to find out that the house was, I won't say haunted, more like enchanted. Weird things happened there a lot. The weirdest by far happened a couple of months before I moved away. Across the street was an open field that quickly turned into foothills and maybe 300 yards further on became a tall ridge of mountain. There was some kind of antenna on top of the ridge and it had a light that was always on at night. No blinking, just a steady white light all the time. One evening, I went out to use the bathroom. Yeah, it had an outhouse, and happened to notice that the light on the ridge was off. I walked down the driveway a bit, because I thought maybe there was a tree blocking it from this angle or something. But I was stopped dead in my tracks. Suddenly, the entire sky behind the ridge lit up. It was like someone had turned on extremely bright floodlights and they were reflecting off of snow to an overcast sky or something, but there was no snow on the ground and it was not even slightly overcast. It was eerily quiet, even more than normal. Well now, I was really damned curious, so I continued walking down the driveway to see if I could get a better angle on it, only to see a guy come around the curve of the street from the left and approach me in a quick walk. This is a fairly remote neighborhood. There are two other inhabited houses on the street, We hardly ever see traffic, much less foot traffic, so this was unexpected. As he got close enough, he said, "You don't want to go over there," in a cautioning tone. "Well, it's not like I was going to climb the mountain in the dark, but, why? What's going on?" I asked, trying to keep it conversational. "Couldn't say," he said, "but you don't want to be a part of it." "Well, if you don't know what's going on, how do you know I don't want to be part of it?" I asked. "That's pretty weird." I gestured in the direction of the ridge and noticed the light was fluctuating a bit, like a slow pulsing. "No, that's weird as hell, and I'm a curious person." The guy then shifted to a darker, more ominous tone and said, "Your eyes are not meant to see." The way he said it made me think you're meant human, and in retrospect it was definitely a warning, maybe even a threat, and it almost sounded like a kind of ritual pronouncement. But I was oblivious in the moment. I looked back up to the light and said, "Well, I can see it just fine, what's the problem?" But when I looked back down, and the guy was gone. In the space of the maybe 5 seconds I was looking away, he had disappeared. There's no direction he could have gone, no matter how fast he was running, that he could have gotten out of line of sight in that amount of time. I was already kind of freaked out by the weird lights, but this really pegged my freakout meter. I went back inside and explained to my roommate what had just happened, encouraged him to come out and see for himself. But by the time we got back outside, whatever was going on behind that ridge was over. I figured that guy was just off his rocker, and there must have been something entirely normal going on over there, so I went online and looked at Google Maps for the area. There was nothing on the other side of that ridge, no roads, no buildings, no signs of civilization whatsoever, just a blank spot on the map. I switched to satellite view and saw nothing, but more wooded ridgelines behind it. To this day, I have no idea what the hell was going on or why I was warned away from it, but it feels like I had been sent some kind of messenger to keep me from blundering into something terrible. It was back when she lived in Biloxi, Mississippi and had just turned 6. She was on her way home from school and took a shortcut through a hole in a fence to get to the church for choir practice. As she got to the other side and was making her way down the street, while carrying books, a car slowed down behind her and started following her. My mom was already used to this kind of thing, since it happened to her quite a bit, sadly, noticed something was off and slowly turned her head to peek at the driver, with the look on his face telling her all she needed to know. The guy tried to get her attention, but when she sped up her pace, he slammed the brakes and tried to jump out of his car to go grab her, but she had already thrown her books on the ground and was running towards the church as fast as she could. He got back in his car and hit the gas to catch up, but she already made it to the back door of the building. And as it turned out, it was locked. And no one would open it either, since they couldn't hear her banging on the door. So she slowly went back up to peek around the corner, to see if he was still there, and he actually was, trying to find her. Here is when she suddenly heard some music coming from the parking lot across the street, where they usually had some old circus-style looking wagons standing around. They were all splintered, rusty, their colors faded and they were locked. But when she looked over there, there was a single one that looked brand new with its door open. And inside, there stood a middle-aged, kind-looking man, who sounded like he could have been Italian, who called her over with a waving hand and a smile. He asked from afar, "Oh, it's such a hot day, would you like to have a snow cone?" And as he said this, he had stepped out onto the top stairs of the wagon and stared directly at that guy in the car. He literally stared him down, and because he did that, the guy took off. Meanwhile, my mom, albeit cautious, had just gotten to the front of the wagon and told the man, "I don't have any money." And he answered with a smile, "It's okay, it's for free." He started making her a snow cone, when her sister came out of the church to look for my mom and ask what she was doing. She, too, was confused to see this brand new looking wagon there, since there were never any before. He then proceeded to ask her if she wanted a snow cone as well and made them both one. With their snow cones in hand and thanking the man for his kindness, they waved and said their goodbyes, while he stood in the doorway and watched them return safely to the church. As they reached the building, one of the church members, who was kinda mean, told them they weren't allowed to bring the cones inside, so they had to turn around and go back up, to try and eat it quickly, but couldn't finish it fast enough, brain freeze, so they sadly had to throw the rest in the trash. But before going in, they felt like looking for the snow cone man across the street once more, only to see he was gone, and while the wagon was still there. The colors were now faded, It was splintered, full of spider webs, and it was locked. No music anymore either, just dead silence. My mom said their mouths dropped and they ran over there to take a closer look. It was really nothing but an old dusty rusty wagon. After some speculation, she told her sister, it must have been an angel, but she just froze and didn't say anything. When she told the church member about the man giving the snow cones to them, because the woman had asked where they got them in the first place. She told the two of them that there was never someone selling anything over there since decades and didn't believe them. My mom just told her that the leftovers are still in the bin. That woman then basically just told them to stop lying and making up stories and went back inside, and my mom looked at her sister, shrugged and shook her head. When I was training to be a truck driver, I was paired with a man who had his own truck. He was very odd. We did runs from Alabama Walmart facility to Miami. We did this for a week as it was going to be my run, and I was enjoying it. I'd hit my reset, but he was fresh to drive, so I crawled back in the sleeper. When I woke up, we were almost in Nebraska. He said he was taking me to see his cabin, so we both could reset and go to the home office to get a new route. I told him I'd stay at the company hotel, because I got weird vibes off him. I even tried to contact my dispatcher to switch to a different truck, but no go. We arrived at his cabin, and it was a bit more than creepy. It was a nice place, but serious Camp Crystal Lake vibes. He had been super friendly the entire time, which made me nervous because he was just way too nice. I went into the cabin, and put my stuff down. I noticed a rock fireplace. And all around this fireplace were bronzed shoes. No sets, just single pairs of shoes. Women's, men's, children, and even baby shoes, all bronzed and displayed. I thought it was extremely weird. He showed me to a room to bunk down, and needless to say, I was sleeping with one eye open. A woman came over later that day who cooked for us. She never said a word the entire time. After eating, he asked me to join him for a drink and we sat down in the living room. He started talking, and asked if I remembered orientation and how we aren't supposed to stop if it will endanger the truck or load, which means run straight over animals in our way. Well, he said this is a collection of things that needed to be hit. He pointed at the shoes. I was super uncomfortable at this point. He kept on that he was getting older and someone would need to carry on his work. At this point, I knew it was best to nod and keep my mouth shut. We got ready to leave and my plan was to find another truck from our company at a truck stop, explain the situation, and get myself out of danger, which is exactly what I did. I got a ride back to Dallas and explained everything to them. They told me I never got on my trainer's truck, they never heard of this guy I was on a truck with, and he didn't work for the company. Not me, but it has to do with me as a baby, and my mom is adamant that the people she encountered were angels, although I feel like it's just weird. So, my 23 years old mom at the time had a very rough time conceiving her first kid, me. She had just had her third miscarriage a couple of months prior, and was pretty depressed over things. That day she had attended my cousin's first birthday party and her brother and his girlfriend, the parents of the 1 year old, had both shown up high as kites on opioids, so my mom ended up hosting the whole party and making sure the kid was taken care of and having fun. After the party, my mama was thinking about how my cousin's mom had done drugs, smoked, and drank alcohol during all of her pregnancies, but still ended up having three very healthy babies she really couldn't care less about. Meanwhile, my parents had done everything by the book and sacrificed whatever they needed to still couldn't conceive. She ended up leaving in tears after she'd cleaned everything up, and got my granny to come pick up my cousin while his parents were passed out. She started ugly crying in the car. Then, her car makes a dinging sound to notify her that she's about to run out of gas, which is weird because she'd had a full tank before the party. Whatever, she pulls up to the corner gas station, which also happens to be owned and ran by a family friend. She cleans herself up a little, makes sure it doesn't look like she was just sobbing, and goes to prepay for the gas. Outside of the gas station door, there's a man standing there. She said he looked like the kindly old grandfather character in a lot of Lifetime movies. Silver hair, well-dressed, deep laugh lines wrinkles, a little sparkle in his eye like Saint Nick. She said that as soon as she exited the vehicle this man started smiling wider and was staring at her, almost like he was waiting for her. Before she was even within 10 feet of her, he yells out, "Please, don't worry." She stops, looks around, There's no one else he's talking to. She says something like, "Oh, I'm not." And he frowns, and goes, "I'm serious, don't worry, everything happens when it's meant to, it'll happen for you again." And as she's fighting back tears but also confused as hell as what to say back, just completely flabbergasted, he pulls out a pocket watch on a chain, and checks it saying, "In fact, it's already happening for you, and you don't have anything to worry about this time, I hope you enjoy it." He then tapped the face of the watch and said, "Looks like I gotta run," and walked by her as she entered the store. The store owner, Brenda, Mom's friend, was immediately like, "Who's that guy? He's been standing out there all morning and he didn't have a car or anything?" And they both turned to see where he was headed off to, but he disappeared completely, he was gone. A few weeks later, my mom found out she was pregnant with me, and she's convinced she'd already conceived when the man was telling her it was already happening for her. Later, once I was born and only a month or two old, my mom took me to show Brenda at the gas station. And again, there were like 4 to 5 kindly old people exiting the entrance door. They all oh and ah over the baby as she went to pass, so she stopped for a bit and let them look at me. Then, as they held the door open for her to push the stroller through, one of them said casually, "And, you've given her such a lovely, fitting name." Mom just smiled and kept moving. Once inside, she mentioned to Brenda that one of the people leaving had said that, and that it was weird because she'd never mentioned my gender, though there may have been some pink blankets in the stroller basket or something. But still, she knew she'd certainly not told them my name. Brenda was just confused and said that she'd not seen any customers or had any sales that morning, so she didn't know who my mom was talking about. My mom's convinced they were angels. I like to remind her that similar stuff happens in the movie Rosemary's Baby, and, good old Brenda would always joke, to my mom's dismay, that she started keeping a bat behind the counter after all those old creepers were so interested in the baby, just in case. She would always jokingly say that that kind of hinky stuff wasn't welcome in her store. Nothing else like this ever really happened before or after, so it's become a part of our family mythos at this point. And, just to let you know, I'm a middle-aged woman now and I have yet to become a prophet or a demon, or do anything of real importance in life. It was just a weird little one-off occurrence that happened, and I think it gave my mom a lot of comfort during a pretty tough and tiring time in her life. I used to work at a Hobby Lobby in Texas before I moved out. While helping at the register one afternoon, this tall, slender, middle-aged, very pale, graying blonde man came through alone and bought a few small odds and ends. Usually people at Hobby Lobby either buy a bunch of stuff or a set of things that are pointed and have obvious use together. This guy bought like 4 random things that didn't seem to match up whatsoever. I didn't remember seeing him around at all until helping up front, and my job was mostly to patrol the store to clean, help customers, loss prevention, etc. I hadn't said a word to him because I was there to help the cashier, when he asked me about the leather bracelet I was wearing. Nondescript, no markings, very simple. My best friend made it for me years before when he was getting into leather working, and I wore it most days since then, and still have it tucked away here with my things. I explained that my best friend made it for me, and he said back, "So it means love then," smiled so kindly I can seldom compare it to anyone else, and told me to take care of it, my friend, and myself. He turned and left, never saw him again. It was such a surreal interaction for no real reason. I am not a religious person at all, but even now, I can't shake the feeling that that man was an angel or something. Not in a biblical sense, but some kind of higher being. I genuinely can't express what this guy felt like any more than that. What's more is the cashier didn't know who I was talking about, she was dumbfounded. Nobody recognized this guy at all. All of that said, I was an addict at this point in my life. I wasn't using at work, but I was spending a lot of time getting loaded and looking into the occult and spirituality as a means of making sense of the world when I would be high. So I may have also just been looking for it. But then how did nobody see this guy? I don't know. I think about that little interaction with alarming regularity. I've cleaned up since then, got a good career as a paramedic. My best friend still works leather. He's getting married next year. I wore that bracelet for years, it still just means love to me. I'm Nigerian, and in Nigeria, it's common for people to have house helps who live with them. When I was about 6 years of age, we had a help who always creeped me the hell out. I was terrified of her. She was extremely beautiful, almost unrealistically beautiful. She has fangs and very pale skin, which is not usual in our region, and her demeanor was just overall scary to me. She had a baby snake tattoo on her left thigh, which I knew about and always thought my mom knew about too. My mom used to have her stay with me when I bathed in the morning, so I wouldn't hurt myself, but I lost cried and didn't want her around me at all. So one morning, my mom asked her to help me in the bath, and this time, I refused blatantly and wouldn't budge. My mom eventually asked me why, and for about the 100th time, I told her I was scared of her and the snake on her thigh. My mom seemed surprised this time and asked her to show the tattoo. She did so reluctantly and we all went on about our day. At midnight that day, my mom went and did her usual door and window checks only to find a vicious baby snake identical to the one on the help's thigh. She panicked and ran and called the men in the house to help get it. They killed the baby snake, but it was gone before they could throw it away. All of this happened very quickly. Now, we lived in a city with absolutely no snakes around, absolutely none. We had never seen a snake prior to that or after that. At that point, my mom had lived in that house for over 20 years. We had never even heard of snakes in the neighborhood. There just weren't any snakes around, so there was no reason for a baby snake to be in our kitchen. The creepiest part of all of this is that when my mom went to check up on her in her bedroom, since she didn't come out with all the commotion in the house, she was nowhere to be found. Absolutely nowhere, she was simply gone. All her things were left behind, but she wasn't there. No one ever saw her leave, not even the security guards, and when my mom tried to reach her family, they wouldn't respond. And no one ever came looking for her, and till date, none of us can explain what happened. There was this time where at my workplace, there was this lady who came up to me and started talking to me. Now, this isn't weird, since I work at the register at the gas station, but what was weird was that she wasn't buying anything nor seemed to be intending to buy anything. There was also something weird about her smile. Putting it out there, this lady was maybe early to mid-20s, couldn't be any older than 30 tops. Also, she was rather pretty. Her blonde hair was down to her back in a loose ponytail and her eyes were this gorgeous blue. But the way she smiled seemed kind of crooked. Like she forgot if a smile was supposed to turn up or down. But anyways, she kept talking to me about the weather and how everyone was so kind to her, unlike some other pesky humans she met, who says pesky anymore. Before asking me if she could have my name. Now, I've heard people ask for my name before, even though I wear a name tag on my shirt. But the way she said it made me freeze. And for some reason, a little voice in the back of my head told me not to say my name aloud, just show her my name tag and smile or else. Which I did, and that made her look, in every sense of the word, misshapen. She seemed to freeze just like I had, but her smile seemed to grow across her face and her eyes seemed so much more chilling. She then just turned and left the store without another word, and I was literally out of breath for a good 2 minutes. A few of my coworkers had noticed how I was acting and when I asked them if anything about the lady had seemed weird to them. They all said something along the lines of, no, but she definitely wasn't normal. I have a very strong fight or flight response, freezing rarely if ever happens to me. There is a really great grocery store near me, it's a small chain and they have several stores within about a 50-mile radius. I went to my regular store after work and I was standing at the seafood counter. The man at the counter had his back turned to me and when he turned around I was frozen. I was creeped out to my core. There wasn't anything physically off with him, he was actually a good-looking person in his 30s, but there was something really off. I wanted to run but couldn't move, I was mentally telling my feet to move and I couldn't budge. He kept rubbing his face and the way he spoke was off. I couldn't bring myself to purchase anything. So I asked a question, thanked him and left. A few months later, I was in another location at the bakery. No one was around and one of the bakers came out from the back. The man looked exactly like the other man, but this one did not creep me out in the slightest. I asked him if he ever worked at that location or in the meat department. He said no, he's a baker and has never worked in any other department. He said he had filled in a few other locations, but not the store in question. I asked if he had a brother. I'm sure he thought I was crazy. I know the type of feeling you're describing and it's unsettling to say the least. I worked in a pharmacy and a customer came in who was a little older than 70. This gentleman looked every bit his age and he looked a bit frail, but his movements were so fluid that it seemed completely unnatural. He was extremely focused on whatever task he was doing, but also acutely aware of his surroundings. He would start talking and mid-sentence turn towards the person he was talking to, and he would talk to people like he already knew the response that they were going to give. For example, he would specifically ask a sports fan about sports or an animal lover about animals or a person who was obsessed with a TV program. He would find a way to bring up something about that program. Now I knew my customers because of the conversations we've had over years. However, this gentleman was a new customer and couldn't have possibly known the interests of these random people. I can admit that I may have just met a peculiar person that is super observant, but that first day he came into the pharmacy, I had no interaction with him at first. I just watched him interact with a few customers and the pharmacy tech. He never looked in my direction, but I was mesmerized by his behavior and movements. I also seemed to be the only person to notice how different he was. I was standing in the consultation window working on the computer when he walked up, leaned in, looked around, gave a big warm smile and simply said, "Our little secret." I didn't say a word, I just smiled back wondering what the hell he was talking about. Well, I didn't think he wasn't human, but I had a rather strange experience last year with a lab supplier I was contacting for the first time. I wanted to order a bottle of cow blood serum, which actually makes this story funnier if you're into the UFO field. But due to major COVID-related supply issues and Brexit-related stupidity, pretty much every one of our normal suppliers here in the UK had it on backorder for several months. Our last order from Europe had been destroyed at the border due to confusion around agricultural or animal product imports caused by Brexit. We were very surprised, and so was the major international supplier who sent it to us. After shopping around for a long time, I finally stumbled across the website of this small company in Cambridge who claimed to have tons of the stuff in stock. That was more than a bit strange given the supply issues at the time, since they would need to source their stock from the same companies, but I wasn't going to question it. The website listed the email address of the head sales rep, so I got in touch with him by email to ask for a quote. Now usually, they would just send you a quote and then you arrange payment. But no, this guy insisted on talking in person over Skype to set up the quote. Not on the phone, he wanted to set up a video chat 3 days in advance. I asked if he couldn't just send me a simple quote for a single bottle, but this guy was adamant. I really needed this serum, so I reluctantly agreed to a 15-minute meeting. I should add here that this guy had clearly written his own employee profile on the supplier's website and it was weird. It was like a blurb on a dating website written by someone with narcissistic personality disorder. I recall he had uploaded an odd vanity photo and described himself as a keen observer of human nature, and boasted being one of the best guitarists in the world. I did look the company up again at that point and they seemed to be legit but small. Because he was wasting my time with this meeting, I decided to take advantage of it to ask about several other products that they were selling. You would think he would be happy about this, right? So I joined this guy for the meeting, and it just feels immediately off. The guy has no facial expressions, and his voice is an almost perfect monotone. He has an unsettling look about him and his mannerisms are odd as well. Think Siler from the TV show Heroes if he were part of the Men in Black, of the Killian variety. He starts generating the quote for me as soon as we are online, no greeting or small talk. I cannot for the life of me figure out why I am there, but I am also getting increasingly uncomfortable. He is just generating the quote on his computer with no input from me while narrating the whole process to me. And he is narrating it like a robot, using weird technical language and wording things like he was running a program. I've spent time around special needs people, but I'd never seen anything like this before, and from the head sales rep no less. After about 6 or 7 minutes of this intermittent droning, I interrupted to ask him a question about another product on their site. He just froze and looked at me in shock. I mean, he looked genuinely rattled. After a moment, he says just the strangest thing in his robotic voice, and this sounds fake, but I kid you not. This was not within the parameters of the discussion we had agreed upon on the 24th of April. I will now be required to recalibrate this discussion in light of your new request. Then he is silent for a while, during which time he apparently recalibrates himself. You can almost see the cogs in his head turning as he tries to process this amazing occurrence, like what the heck? With great apparent difficulty, he managed to find the simple information I had asked for, and it is basically just the information on the website. It is almost like he can't process a new request and doesn't actually have any other information on hand. I am getting annoyed now, so I ask him about another product. And, he said exactly the same thing again in almost the same words. This was not within the parameters of the discussion we had agreed upon on the 24th of April. I will now be required to recalibrate this discussion in light of your new request. Now I'm a bit creeped out, but I also start to feel really bad. Like this guy clearly has a problem, maybe he is genuinely trying his best. I don't want to mess with him anymore, so I just stay mostly silent. He did say a few other really odd non-human things that genuinely left me puzzled, usually when responding to something I said, but I can't remember clearly now. It was like this guy had never spoken to a real human being in his life and also didn't understand how this professional interaction was supposed to be conducted. Finally, he emails me the quote while I'm still online with him. I am still puzzled as to why I needed to be there, and then he hesitates a moment before attempting the most unsettling smile I've ever seen and logging off. They did send me the serum soon after I placed the order, but I don't think I'll be ordering through them again if I can help it. My boss was an egomaniac of the new age kind. She grew up in a peaceful religion that practices meditation in their daily and church life. Always insecure, for a time she hobnobbed with New York society. Gave it up to join an ashram. Was in it for decades until she got really ill and left New York, began making her own jewelry. She opened a shop outside of Chicago to sell her wares and was always bragging how she was of the Melchizedek line and worked with A.A. Michael, Metatron, and I forgot the last. She was so impressed that these individuals were giving her guidance and advice. Meditation was always important to her, she taught classes on it. But in her last year of business, things began to change. These energies she worked with pulled away. She said she got a new team of guides. She was clearly bewildered as to why her 3Ms had withdrawn. She'd always been insecure, but this withdrawal was a deep blow to her confidence. She avoided meditation, she didn't try to connect with them in the same way in the beginning. One of her children came for a visit and was distressed to see she wasn't meditating as she used to, so they helped her create a beautiful space to relax and get back into the practice. And this is where the story starts getting weird. Her staff, of which I was one, we all practiced meditation. All of us were of different thoughts and practices spiritually as well. We started feeling her when we were doing our meditation practice. We'd go into work and she'd approach us with, "I saw you out there meditating." Then she'd critique us, what was maddening, because we all had different spiritual practices. It meant she was telling a medicine man who had been meditating on lessons from a goddess he worked with that he wasn't doing something to her, the goddess, liking, which according to him wasn't true. Our Buddhist staff member told her straight up she was being extremely rude and needed to stop. She got this weird look on her face, the start, and just left the room. She didn't stop, by the way. Buddhist staff member and I were working on SEO in the staff office when the boss came in and wanted one of our computers. B moved to do something else and she began to rant. We were on edge because she was known for blowing up, but this is one of the first times we noticed the changes. She took her glasses off and began rubbing her eyes. They were all red and the shape was more a slit than their usual shape. I, concerned about pink eye, told her that her eyes were pink and wondered if she needed to go to the doctor. She confessed that they'd been red quite a bit frequently and the doctor thought she was spending too much time online. While she was talking, she began scratching her skin, which was red and raised now. Hand wasn't scratching like normal, it was more contracted. She realized this and up she left the store really abruptly. Little things like this kept occurring. Once, I was meeting at her house. I wrote about it here on Reddit a while ago, but the reptilian kept getting stronger and stronger the longer I was there and I was terrified. I left early. The big one for me was the staff meeting. She confessed that something was off. All of us are at the meeting, boss is running it. By this time, Buddhist and I had shared with everyone else things we were noticing, and we were finding the rest of the staff was noticing it as well. The boss was also forgetting huge things we'd planned and discussed for the company. Things that many of us had spent lots of time working on, and she would argue that we'd never discussed it with her. At the meeting, I asked her how her new meditation spot her child had created was doing, and she bashfully confessed that she wasn't using it, that her guides wanted her to meditate in front of her computer. Now, anyone who meditates knows that your team wants you away from distractions, especially computers. After she has said this, most of us were just staring at her, mouths agape, and the appearance started again. The skin scratching, her body being bent over, she took off her glasses and rubbed her eyes, which were becoming more slit-like. And as this went on, we were all looking at one another with big eyes and nodding heads. See, I told you so. Now there are other things that were happening, especially with our work computers. But it's a really long and, as I said, unbelievable story that I think most would put us away for even slightly believing it's true, but I know it is. Buddhist quit that night, I quit 3 weeks later, only one person from that meeting is still there, everyone else, gone.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. Sally from Finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.